Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us on Community Focus. It is a great day when we have the opportunity to visit again with Karen Agar. She is the well-known author, arthritis advocate. She's also a tenured teacher at the United Nations International School. And she joins us by telephone from New York. Karen, how are you today?
I'm great, Carolyn. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Your book, Enemy Within, A Memoir of Strength, Determination, and Acceptance, has given a voice to people who are suffering a chronic illness, such as your rheumatoid arthritis. And this is National Arthritis Awareness Month.
Right, exactly.
And now you have a website?
Yes, I have a website, KarenInArthritis.com, which I've found a lot of my readers have gone to just to really get some advice, and a lot of their partners have gone to, and you know, it's been a source of comfort for them because they realize that there's a lot of partners out there who are going through the same sort of stresses and anxiety and feelings of isolation as they are themselves.
Our new listeners can tell by your voice that you're a native of Australia.
Yes.
And I would like to remind them that you just appeared on the cover of Arthritis Today magazine, the January-February issue, and you look like a fashion model.
I was very proud to be on the first cover of 2011. So it was wonderful. It was a very proud moment.
And I noticed in that article that one of your students at the UN school has become an advocate. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, that was Joseph Leibowitz. He was actually interviewed for the article, and he had some great quotes in there. He became involved about 7 years ago with the Arthritis Foundation when he saw my fingers and how I was sort of hobbling around the classroom. He is a person who has just a great understanding of people's energy, and he read me very well. And when I put a little flyer downstairs on the community message board saying that there was an arthritis walk, he came to me after that and said, "Miss Agar, do you have arthritis and are you walking?" And that was the first time I really unburdened myself of the secret of the illness and sort of said it out loud to my class and the children. And Joseph's become an advocate ever since, and we'll be walking again this May in New York at Battery Park. And it's interesting because in that interview, he really feels like he is responsible for the fact that I got the courage to talk about my illness, and he's right. So he really inspired me.
Tell me more about the school, the UN International School, and what you do there.
Well, my role has changed a little bit from homeroom teacher to learning specialist in the junior school, of which there are two. And I help children with literacy skills who need a little boost. And I work with children from kindergarten to grade three. You know, I feel like because I've had my own personal struggles with my illness, I can understand the kids who are perhaps struggling with reading and writing a little bit more than some other teachers perhaps would. So it's a great match for me, I think.
About how many students do you have in the classroom?
At any one time, I teach about sometimes up to eight, but mainly about six. So they're small groups.
And they get plenty of personal instruction, I can
tell. Yeah, the whole time. So it's wonderful for them. It's a great resource. And we really find if we intervene early that a lot of the kids will just pick up the reading through the explicit teaching that I give them, and then we send them on their way and they're fine.
Are these students children of UN workers?
Yes.
Diplomats?
Yeah, well, we have American families there as well and multicultural families. But the school was initially founded for the children of UN workers because the UN people would be transferred to New York all throughout the year, and it was often difficult for them to get into schools in New York City. So that's why they started the school about 63 years ago, I believe.
How long have you been teaching there?
Since 2000. It's been a great match for me. Of course, very scary when I first moved countries with a chronic illness to an unknown city, a city like New York, but the school has been wonderful to me. There's a great sense of community there. We've got a wonderful director who really puts a lot of emphasis on working with his staff. And in fact, just last week we had a staff development day, and the whole day was about happiness and building on our strengths and the strengths of children.
Karen, back to your book, Enemy mm-hmm. Within. This book chronicles your discovery that you had rheumatoid arthritis. And the article in Arthritis Today alluded to the fact that coming from Australia, you did not have access to certain medications called biologics. And
right.
I want to explore a few minutes with you the government-funded healthcare system that you were under there mm-hmm. and what happened when you came here.
Right. It's a great question. Well, you know, I've had rheumatoid arthritis where the body essentially attacks its own joints for about 30 years now. So the disease has actually changed a lot in terms of the medications that you can get for it now. But 11 years ago in Australia, you could not get the biologics, which have been so wonderful for so many people in stopping further joint damage. And so when I moved to New York, I had access to the biologics that I actually didn't even know existed. So I really think that my move to New York has saved a lot of my joints because I got on the biologics quicker than I would have been able to in Australia. And what I ended up doing when I found that the medications were so wonderful that I was getting in the States, I went home during the summer break, which was our winter in Australia, and advocated for the medicines to be approved by the government, and they subsequently were. So that was really good. But, you know, with the public health system at home, of course, we don't have to pay for the medications there. You do have to have health cover, but it's certainly not the cost of health cover as it is in America. But the problem is, because the medications are so expensive in Australia, you have to really go through all the lower grade anti-inflammatories and everything first. And that can be a bit of a problem with people with rheumatoid arthritis, because a lot of the doctors believe that, you know, you have to go in and treat the disease aggressively. So it's hard for them at home still. They get access, but perhaps not quickly enough.
When you discovered that you had rheumatoid arthritis and mm-hmm. you were here in the United States when you were given a biologic, it was like night and day.
Mm.
And you had to deal with a lot of anger over why wasn't this treated earlier, saving you years of misery.
Right. For me, when I had the biologics or was put on them, it was like a virtual cure for me. And it's not like that for everyone, but for me personally, the next day when I woke up, I couldn't believe it. I was pain-free for the first time in years and in decades. So back in the 90s, there were medicines around, but, you know, I had had very bad side effects to those. You know, I'd been put in hospital with bilateral pneumonia and intensive care, nearly lost my life. So there were certain things for me as an individual that I couldn't be treated with, which was made, you know, treating my illness in general a lot harder.
How do you deal with a chronic illness and you have turned that negativity of anger mm. into a positive? You're an advocate now and you mm-hmm. serve on arthritis boards here and there. How did you make that transition? Because you are occasionally in pain.
Yeah, I still battle the pain. And you're absolutely right, and I chronicle, talk about this in the book. I went through probably at least 15 years of being angry about my illness and angry at all the people around me, especially my mother. You know, I think there are always pivotal moments in people's lives, and for me, I'd really hit rock bottom, and I, you know, I was in a wheelchair, and my future didn't look too great. There was a time when the government had said to me, right, you're so sick, we're going to put you on an invalid pension for the rest of your life. And I was only in my 20s. And that was my pivotal moment. You know, that's when my spiritual fight began. And so from then on, I really sort of thought a lot about what is happiness and what are my strengths, and began to understand that there are layers to pain and happiness, and that perhaps we can be strengthened by our struggles. And I think chronic disease teaches you also to be pretty resilient and to never give up. And so, you know, I've just learned to be thankful for pain-free days and for everyday moments, really.
I think you said somewhere that looking back on your life, you actually wouldn't change this journey.
No, I wouldn't change it because, you know, I think I've, in my life, I've really triumphed not despite my rheumatoid arthritis, but because of it, it's really changed me as a person and made me a lot more compassionate and understanding, and I think a better teacher. But I think getting back to sort of Enemy Within, the reason why I called my book Enemy Within was the fact that I think we all have something like this that we have to deal with in our lives, you know, a struggle that never goes away. And, you know, sometimes when you're going through these darkest moments, it's when you really discover who you are. And then it's the way you manage, you know, your future opportunities that really dictates your future happiness. So I think we've all got these things in our lives that we have to deal with. It's just trying to manage the pain and getting through, allowing yourself to grieve, because it is a grieving process, illness or loss or whatever the case may be. So it's allowing yourself to work all through those moments and process it, and having a support network around you.
Karen, you actually had juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, and in the book there are pictures of your joints, and I remember there was a section of your book in The Enemy Within where you had to be carried off the beach. You couldn't walk.
Right, right.
So as a teacher, wouldn't you know that you have dedicated your website, KarenAndArthritis.com, to teaching people who have chronic illnesses how to deal with them?
Yeah, you know, that's a great point, Carolyn, because my colleagues at work have actually read the book, and, you know, we had a book club on it, and they said, one of the things that strikes me so much about your book is that you're really the teacher in there. It very much comes through in the story, and by the end of the book, people feel enlightened and like they've learnt something. So I guess the teaching is the common thread there too. You're right.
And you say on the website, quote, "It is my dream that this site will inspire and empower you and that the millions of people who suffer from rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases around the world will one day be cured."
Right.
Do you see cures in the future, in the near future? Is there that much hope?
You have to have hope. I think hope's the last thing to go. When you don't have hope, it's that's a problem. There's people working on it every day, and where we've moved ahead so much in terms of the way we treat the illness in the last decade, I've got great hope for the next 10 years, yes.
So we need more researchers going after juvenile arthritis and the other 100 forms of arthritis.
Right, and more rheumatologists. That's a bit of a problem at the moment too, not enough doctors in the field.
Karen, what would you like to leave your listeners with?
I would like your listeners to feel empowered by their own personal struggles, you know, whether it's a loss or a secret or a divorce or any of these challenges that life sort of causes us, and to know that they should never give up and to just always have hope, really.
And, of course, the title of the article, the lead article in the Arthritis Foundation magazine for January, February, was The Power of Hope. And that's you.
Thank you. I love that. I absolutely love that title. It was so positive, and what a great title. Yes, The Power of Hope.
Well, Karen, thanks to your advocacy, you may be saving lives out there. You never know, and especially the lives of children.
Thank you. Yes, very important, because there are 300,000 children in the U.S. with rheumatoid arthritis, so we've got a lot of work to do in that area.
Thank you so much for inspiring us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Carolyn, and it's so great to speak to you again. Thank you so much.
Well, we'll keep in touch, okay?
I'd love to.
We have been visiting with Karen Agar, author, arthritis advocate, and tenured teacher at the United Nations International School. We'll take you back to Troy for the remainder of your news hour. Our program is a public service of Troy University.